St. Gertrude the Great, pray for us. I wish you a blessed feast day of our patroness, St. Gertrude the Great. Welcome our guests who are with us for this happy occasion of our three first Holy Communions. After Mass today, you're all welcome to come back to Helfte Hall for some lunch. In the collect, or the prayer of today's Mass, we, as collects do, sum everything up. O God, who in the heart of the Holy Virgin Gertrude didst provide for thyself a pleasing abode, through her merits and prayers do thou cleanse from our hearts every stain of sin, and grant that we may enjoy fellowship with her forevermore. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, there was once a little prince, the son of a king. He lived in a great splendid palace, filled with playthings and games of every kind. Sometimes he would go to the window, and he would look out at the regular children below. Once his father saw him doing that, and he asked him if he would like to go out and play with those children. Oh, father, could I, he said. I've been wanting to for so long. And the father, for his part, wanted his son to go out and to be with those children. They were very happy. So that day, that very hour, the son changed his clothes so that he wouldn't stand out so much. He put on the oldest clothes that he could find. And he went down out into the street, and he played with those children from morn until night. And it was for him a very happy day. This story was told by our Lord himself to our saint, to Saint Gertrude, once when she was meditating on the Blessed Sacrament and how our Lord, considering who we are and our sins and unworthiness, how our Lord could ever stand to be under the same roof with us, not just for a moment or two, but day and night, and more than that, to come into our hearts in Holy Communion. I'm like the little prince, he explained. It is a pleasure to me to be with you, boys and girls, and men and women, and anyone who keeps people away from communion deprives me of a great joy. You see, for a long time in the history of the church, many people, most really, rarely went to communion, and there had to be a law called the Easter duty to make them go at least once a year. But our Lord didn't want that. How pleased he was 100 years ago when the great Pope, St. Pius X, reminded everyone they should go frequently and explained how easy it would be, and at the same time made it possible for little children, just those with the age of reason even, to receive him in Holy Communion. Our Lord wants to be with us under our roof. He knows we say, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But that's the point of his coming. 14 years ago, we dedicated this church. And the reason we dedicated this church was that these three children could make their first Holy Communion today, and that our Lord could find his dwelling place in their hearts. That's why the incarnation occurred. That's why we have the consecration of the Mass and the Holy Communion. And that is why we dedicate churches. That's why there is a tabernacle. That's why the sanctuary lamp burns night and day, that Jesus might find his delightful dwelling place in our midst still today. And then at the end of the day, that we could go home with him and be happy with him forever in heaven. All our Lord requests of us, and you children remember this because we talked about it just yesterday, is that we should be free of mortal sin and fasting and have at least some holy or good desire in our heart. Even if that's just a vague sense of our own coldness or unworthiness, how our Lord wants us to approach him in Holy Communion with confidence. Should you abstain without absolutely having to? Why, our Lord compares you to the workers who build churches. In other words, it was just a job for them. And they gave our Lord sometimes a beautiful church, bricks and mortar, in our case, plasterboard and granite facing. But then, that's all they gave our Lord. They never came back to give him their hearts. And how sad that would be. But in my love, our Lord told St. Gertrude this once, I have chosen you, and I have placed you among the joyful banqueters, that's people at a banquet, who feast at my table. Our Lord delights to dwell in our hearts, even though we're still a work in progress. We're dedicated, actually we're consecrated to God, but we're not perfect, not yet, but that needn't hold us back. It doth not appear, says St. Paul, in one of the epistles of this time of the year, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And so we make, when we go to communion, some effort, at least, to clean ourselves up. Or like a family, when you suddenly realize, oh no, we've got guests coming today. And you scurry about, and somebody at least throws the dirty dishes in the sink, and another person has the job of vacuuming, more or less, and then the third might sort of pick up things from the floor at random. So the house looks at least a little bit prepared for your honored guests. But regardless of how good a job you do or not, he comes under your roof. Unready though we be, sometimes it's cluttered in here, in the heart. When we dedicated the church, the first time, that was 37 years ago, it was a day just like this. And everything was pretty much ready. But when we dedicated this new church 14 years ago, there was quite a bit that remained to be done. The facing wasn't even on the outside of the church, and some doors and locks were not in place yet. That's how it often is for a dedication. And I remember it was terribly muddy. There was mud everywhere. We really were quite unfinished. That's how we are so many days when we go to Holy Communion. We're attached still to ourselves and to our venial sins and to our pride, sometimes our sloth or our easy way of life, or even sensuality. And still, our Lord looks out wistfully from the window of heaven. And he says, could I go? And could I play with them? Could I spend some time with them? St. Gertrude knew this. And our Lord knew this about her. She is a great, great saint. People don't realize what a great saint she is. And yet, she had her little faults. She tended to be a little censorious at times. She would have made an excellent traditional Catholic. She was always judging her neighbor, and sometimes really too critical, and our Lord would have to get after her a bit. And then she was flighty. Well, she was a woman after all. Her idea of God's will was often exactly her will. And when it should be accomplished was exactly right away. And God got after her for that too. And she would get distracted when she prayed. She prayed a lot. And sometimes she would fall asleep, as did the little flower. But she learned this important lesson. It was not her virtues. It was his gifts which made her pleasing in God's sight. Every spiritual loss can be repaired by worthily receiving the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result, she was never unduly distressed by her faults. She took them in stride, and she continued to work on them. Once she exclaimed about her unworthiness, and our Lord answered her that poor and unworthy though she be, she was called to the Eucharistic banquet, and he said, "I'll clean you up." And he did, by the virtue of his passion. And he adorned her with radiant jewels. She saw this in a vision, because she saw our Lord almost every day in a vision and prayer. And he took some of the jewels from his cross, and he adorned her garment, her soul, with them. And then he told her, "Gertrude, walk with a dignity that behooves someone who is so beautifully apparelled." I sometimes try to think of that when I'm wearing all of my special pontifical vestments for a pontifical mass, and there's jewels and everything, and from top to bottom, head to toe, you're all covered over with beautiful vestments. And I think to myself, "Now stand up straight. Hold your crozier just so. You represent the King of Kings and the eternal High Priest." Well, so do we all, in some beautiful, holy way, by sanctifying grace. And that's why, children, when you come up today, and you must never forget it, children, hands folded, eyes cast down, walking ever so reverently with dignity that befits a child of God. Ready or not, we might cry, "Here I come." He certainly cries that to us, the Holy Child. You can never do enough to be worthy of him. But if only you do just a little, it will get you by. No mortal sin. No deliberate love for sin in your soul. Keep the fast. We did that yesterday, right? How many hours? 3 hours, and 1 hour from liquids, and water doesn't break the fast. But most of all, have some desire. "Jesus, Jesus, come to me." And Jesus says, "I will do the rest, and I will prepare in your heart, as I did for St. Gertrude the Great, as he did in this church at its dedication." Prepare what? A pleasing dwelling place for himself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.